It's time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio. I'm your host, Tyler Smith. Thanks so much for joining us. It's the end of October, which can only mean one beautiful thing. Basketball season is upon us, and on today's show, we are previewing the upcoming seasons for both the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Hoosiers. IndySportsLegends.com writer Chris Goff joins us on the show today to talk some hoops. Chris, welcome back, and on a scale of one to boom, baby, how excited are you for the upcoming season?
A slickler boom, baby, would be the answer to that one. I can't wait to see this team this year, and they have so much potential. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can reach it.
Yeah, let's talk about those Indiana Pacers first. You know, you and I have done multiple shows talking Pacers basketball. I remember last year's season preview, we talked about how the conference finals were within reach of last year's team, and that's exactly where the Pacers ended up. But at that time of last year's preview show, we didn't know that Danny Granger would only be playing five games. So looking back, I think the Pacers exceeded our expectations when you consider the Granger injury. But now, turn the page of this season, Danny Granger is expected to be back in action. He may miss the first couple games or something like that, but the knee is healthy, and he should play a lot this year for the Pacers. What's your overall assessment of Danny Granger, his role for the team? You know, should he start? Should he be the sixth man? Should the Pacers look to trade him? What are your thoughts?
Well, coming into the offseason, I thought, and I think I expressed this on your show and on the website, that I thought the Pacers were going to trade Danny Granger, but it didn't happen all summer. You kind of waited for it, and I think they looked at some offers, and they kind of never got exactly what they wanted, and so they feel like they're a better team with Danny Granger than whatever they could get back for Danny Granger, and I think that's probably true, and I don't think they're going to trade Danny. By this point in the year, no time is Tuesday night. I don't think they're going to trade Danny, so I think he's here to stay, and I think he's a better player than Lance Stephenson overall. He's more complete. He's a better rebounder. He's bigger. He's a better scorer. I mean, for God's sake, he's been the Pacers' best player for much of his career. So I think if he's healthy, and he should be able to get over this calf injury, and he said he has no doubt that his knee will eventually be strong enough to get out there. He's still at the tail end of his rehabilitation process with the knee. Once you got there, I think you compare him with Paul George and have just a frightening pair of wings, shooting guard, small forward, one of the biggest combinations in NBA history. And Danny won't shoot as much as he used to, but he says he's happy about that, actually. It's kind of a relief for him, and I take it at his word. So it'll take a little bit of an adjustment for Danny as far as, because he's used to getting a lot of shots up, when do I pick my spots? When does the team get Danny the ball and let him go from isolation? When do they not? But I think he's going to be a key member of the defense, as he's been for the last couple of years. And he's still going to be a strong presence around the team, even though Paul's the leader. David West is obviously the leader. Danny Granger has a lot of experience with this franchise, and I still think some of the young people and the newcomers will look up to him. So I think Danny will be okay and a very valuable asset this year.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty shocked that he's still on the team coming from this offseason. Like you, I thought last year was going to be his last season with us. Not so much for the reason of Paul George, but I didn't honestly think the Pacers had enough money to keep him and also re-sign David West. I guess I was wrong in terms of those numbers, but his injury last year was really a blessing in disguise, as we've talked about, as far as starting or not. I think we just have to trust Vogel on this one. I think he and Lance are both going to play a ton. Whoever's needed by the end of the game and how they're playing, we got to just trust Frank on that. Personally, I know it's not good to lose a guy for nothing. I know some of the fans are talking about, you can't lose this guy for nothing at the end of the season. But at the same time, the Pacers are trying to win a championship this year. So if Danny Granger being on the team gives us the best chance to do that, I say we got to keep him. You got to ride out the season. Give it your best shot at a title, because these things don't come around very often, as we know as Pacer fans. And also give him one more chance to win here, because he's given the franchise a lot. So if we have to part ways after the season, so be it. But that's my vote. Give him one final shot, and I think it's going to be very interesting as soon as he gets back on the court to see what he can do. Let's talk a little bit about the bench. Last year, we thought the bench had improved, and it was pretty much a train wreck for most of the season. This year, the Pacers, they bring in Scola, Copeland, Watson, and as mentioned, we have Danny Granger back, pushing Lance Stephenson probably to the bench as well. This looks like a very deep team. At the very least, it will be deeper than last year. What are your thoughts on the bench, and will they be better or worse than what we think?
Oh, it's good. It's a real good bench, especially if you bring Granger off the bench, which is possible. A lot of people in the organization have said that it is. If Danny's coming off the bench, that's one of the best units in the NBA, because you have somebody who's been a 20-point scorer, you have a very versatile post scorer, and Luis Scola, you have defense and rebounding with Jan Mahimi. And I think, a quick aside, I think Jan will bounce back from last year. He had kind of an abnormally bad year offensively, which if you look at what he did in Dallas, stands out as kind of a fluke. So I think Jan will be better. And you have C.J. Watson. It's point guard now, a tremendous upgrade over D.J. Augustine, who was the face of that Vince train wreck that you spoke about last year. And then you have Lance Stephenson possibly being in the mix as well, a wild card, a guy who gets to the basket, finishes at a high rate. That's just a really good unit that can do a lot of different things, and most teams do not have that. Now, I know we said a lot of the same things last year. We thought Gerald Green was going to be a sixth man. I remember Frank and Roy talking about how well Augustine's basketball in training camp. They thought he was going to be a dynamite distributor, and none of that panned out. But there's nowhere to go but up. I mean, the likelihood that they miss so badly on a group of bench players again when they underwent a complete overhaul this summer. And we didn't even mention Chris Copeland, who's a great three-point shooter. I know he slumped in the preseason, but I believe in that guy. I think the bench is going to be a real asset and could change games for the Pacers this year. It's kind of oriented toward offense, and I think that's going to help the bench not go through those lulls that we saw that were just so crushing in the postseason. You know, right around the early part of the second quarter, the games would take a big swing. The different Pacers would go through like a 1-for-10 slump. Sam Young would have a couple of turnovers. And I don't think you'll see those lulls in the games this year, and that will allow the starting units not only to stay fresher throughout the regular season, but to really make their full impact on the most important games.
Yeah, I agree, and I think one of the big differences between this year and last year is that last year we were kind of banking on a little bit of the unknown. You know, Gerald Green coming off a really good, you know, second half of a season, but not much of a track record. This time you bring in a guy like Scola, who is a starter for the majority of teams, and he's also another veteran presence. So now you look at, you know, the Pacers have been fortunate with injuries the past couple of years, but let's say David West misses some time, we can then afford to let a guy like David West fully heal and not have such a big drop-off, you know, when Scola's in the game. You talked about Chris Copeland gives us a desperately needed three-point threat. Watson still isn't the pass-first point guard that some feel that we need, but he's definitely going to be better than D.J. Augustine. And then you throw in the fact again that it's either going to be Danny or Lance off the bench in the second unit. And so I think they're going to be as good as advertised. You look at last year, we lose to Miami in seven games, even though our starters outplayed the Miami starters, even with LeBron James in it. So it's a pretty exciting thing, a pretty exciting time that if these guys can produce, we're going to be very, very good. Let's talk about predictions real quick. The East has definitely improved. The Bulls with Derrick Rose back. Miami is always going to be up there. Brooklyn possibly in the mix, and some other teams that could be pretty good. Give us your predicted win total. I know this is difficult. You came awfully close last year, I believe, to the Pacer win total. What do you think is in terms of wins and predicted seed?
Yeah, last year I had, even though blind school finds a nut sometimes, I had them winning 49, and they ended up with 49 wins. This year, I'm going a lot higher. I actually am thinking 60. And sometimes you sort of settle on those round numbers just to sort of look good. But I think the Pacers have the talent to win 60 games, and I think of another year of Paul George. I think he's going to shoot better from the field this year, and the bench are so much deeper, as we talked about. The East is tougher. It's not only tough at the top. I think the bottom of the East is still pretty soft. There are only really seven or eight, you know, legitimately good teams in the East. So I think the Pacers have a chance to get to 60 wins, and typically that puts you right up there in contention for the top seed. Now, I think Miami will do a little bit better because they're just such a good regular season team. They can outscore anybody anytime they need to, you know, come out of a deficit. You know, Miami was in a big hole in a lot of games last year, and LeBron just blows them out of it. The Pacers don't have quite that kind of player, but I think they're going to be a really good regular season team this year. And so I would guess that they win their division, even though Chicago will be a really tough opponent, and I think you'll see that race go down to April. But I think the Pacers will hang on because the Bulls just have so many players who always have nagging injuries. I mean, you can pretty much guarantee no one will miss 20 games. You know, Dangle missed 15 or whatever. And but I have the Pacers second in the East, right behind Miami. And the key is, can they be better on the road this year? Because that's what's going to dictate whether they have, you know, 50, 52, 53 wins, or if they can get up to 60. And I'm betting on them playing better on the road, so that's why I'm pretty optimistic about the projection this year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on the two seed. I'm going to go a little bit lower in terms of wins. However, I definitely see your points. I think on paper, this Pacers team is a 60-win club. The reason I went lower, the reason I'm not going to predict 60 wins is because, you know, first of all, it's really difficult to do, but I do think they will face some injuries. I think it seems like under Frank Vogel, and despite, you know, the success they've had, they seem to go through some funks here and there that hurt the overall record. You know, maybe they're more, you know, more than likely they're more able to handle losing streaks this year with this team and how deep they are. But I could still see a couple of those here and there going on some trips and things like that. So I'm going 55 wins. I'm hoping for more. I could see more for sure. But I'm going to go 55 and 27 in a two seed. And like you, I think they'll be battling Chicago into April, but I think they'll hang on for that, and that could be big in terms of home court advantage, of course. Here's my bottom line for this season. As a fan of the team, you know, the only thing you can really ask for at the start of a season is that your team has a chance to compete for a championship. And this year, Pacers fans have that. You know, nothing's going to come easy. They could just as easily, you know, get bounced in the second round to Chicago or somebody like that. But going into this year, it's exciting to know this team this year has a legit chance of competing for a title. And so, especially as a fan of a small market team, that's a great feeling, don't you think? I mean, that's awesome.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at the teams that they're competing with, as far as being, and I agree with you, they're a true legitimate title contender. I think the other teams on that list, like a Chicago, a Brooklyn, a Miami, the L.A. Clippers, I guess the Spurs or the Thunder would be small market teams, but most of the teams in that conversation are from the, you know, the big markets in the NBA, so it's really a cool thing.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn our attention now to some college ball and the Indiana Hoosiers. You were in attendance covering their first preseason game. How do they look so far, and give us your thoughts on this very talented freshman class.
Well, just on that first game, it was pretty sloppy, ugly basketball on both sides. Southern Indiana came in, and had a lot of turnovers. IU didn't shoot well, a lot of missed free throws. So it wasn't real pretty, but there are a lot of positives that you take away. And one of them is that freshman class that you talked about. And we didn't even see Devin Davis in that exhibition opener. We didn't see Stanford Robinson. And a lot of people think those guys are going to be able to contribute this year, but Troy Williams and Noah Vonleh, I think, are the headliners. And Noah especially, you saw all of his skill set on display right away. The ability as a help side defender to get his arms up and block the ball. He had a steal at the top of the key, took the ball, and ran the fast break himself and jammed it home. You saw him even hit a three-pointer. He took the shot with confidence, didn't hesitate. If he's shooting threes, I mean, my goodness, with his crazy athleticism, 6'9 frame, I think he's going to have some problems defending the post. But I think Noah Vonleh was just a hyped five-star recruit. You know, he's ranked number 13 in the country in his class. He could very well be a top 10 draft pick next spring. We'll see how quickly he comes along. I thought the early returns were pretty promising. Tom Crean seems pretty encouraged. Could he be excellent right away? I don't know. He's probably going to be a beast because he was so great in high school. And like I said, I mean, he's just got all the physical tools. And I think Troy Williams is right there with him as an impact guy. 6'7", can flash, can make plays defensively. I know he's got a thin frame, but Troy Williams really has a chance to be one of the big contributors to this team this year. So it's a very good freshman class.
Yeah, the thing with freshman ball players, they're very hard to predict. You know, some guys flourish right away. Some guys are way overranked. Some guys are way underranked. You know, see Victor Oladipo, for example. And some guys can't seem to adjust to the college game until they're sophomores or juniors before they have their breakout. So predicting this year's IU team is difficult, because they'll be relying so much on this freshman class, which, again, is hard to predict. It is very talented. I think Vonleh will be similar to Zeller in terms of impact, and I think he'll probably be here. I'm hoping he'll be here for at least 2 years before going pro. We'll see about that. We'll worry about that next year. But Troy Williams could be similar. A lot of comparisons to Oladipo. I've said from day one, hopefully I'm right on this, that Luke Fisher is going to be pretty underrated and a very solid four-year center for IU. You know, he's been slowed by injuries, as so many other ones have. But the other players have talent as well, but these three guys are the ones who could all probably start on this year's team. We know there's talent. The question is, will these guys learn quickly, or will they take some lumps? That's the question on everybody's mind. On top of the freshmen playing well, who are you looking to have the most impact for this team in terms of helping to lead the team? Do you think it's Yogi? Do you think it's Will Sheehy? Do you think it's Gordon, the transfer? Do you think it's the sophomores? Who do you think needs to step up the most to help this team?
Well, I think Yogi Ferrell is really, when you boil all this way down, and there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of question marks, but I think Yogi Ferrell is really the one guy who's the key to this season. Because as you said, a lot of guys don't really click until their sophomore year, but sophomore year is really a time when a lot of guys make a leap, and I think Yogi Ferrell looks like he really could be that player for Indiana. He's the only returning starter. He's mature, so you know that Tom Crean will count on him as a leader on and off the floor. Yogi needs to be a good passer. He needs to penetrate. He needs to be able to shoot. He needs to be able to defend. He needs to be the glue guy who makes all of these talented parts mesh and get Noah, get Troy, get Luke, get Will Sheehy the ball in places where they can be successful. I think what I take away from that first preseason game is that Yogi really has more of a scorer's mentality this year. I mean, you could tell the difference between this year and last year was just stark. I mean, Yogi didn't look for his own shot very much last year. He was willing to take big shots. But he can go out of his way in half-court situations to find his own offense, and he was doing that in the opener. So I think Will Sheehy has to play a larger role, and Tom Crean has always talked about how good Jeremy Hollowell and Hannah Mosquera Perea could be. Those guys are also sophomores. Will is a senior. Those are really the returners who are supposed to play a big role. Peter Durkin looks like he'll mostly be depth. The big 7-foot center. But to me, it comes down to Yogi. I don't know if you agree with that one or not. Do you?
I actually do. You know, that's the guy for me. And for him, you know, the experience that he had as a freshman playing on a Big Ten championship team, that's going to work wonders for him this year as he becomes more of a leader. And, you know, he's already getting comparisons as the next Isaiah Thomas in terms of what he's going to do the next a couple years. So I'm excited for that. I think a guy like Sheehy, actually Tom Crean mentioned this, he doesn't need to turn into a superstar. He just needs to do what he does better and just continue to develop along with the other guys. So I definitely agree with you about Yogi. IU is ranked number 24 in the coaches poll to start the season. I think it's no secret that this is not last year's team. However, I want to encourage fans that that's not always a negative thing, because there's going to be some positives that come with that as well. You know, this year's team is going to be more athletic. They're going to be longer, probably more energetic at times. They'll be able to do some things that last year's team couldn't. And so I think everyone agrees that next year's IU team is going to be a top team again. But as for this year, what are your expectations? Are they a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team? Could they surprise? Could they be dangerous in March? Or will they most likely end up being a bubble team this year?
Well, I don't really see them as a bubble team. I'm pretty confident that they'll make the NCAA tournament. You know, like I said, the variance of outcome is pretty wide this year, but I think there's so much talent on hand that we can say with some certainty that Indiana is going to be good, but it's a matter of degrees. You know, we just don't know how good. I'm kind of worried about the defense, because you take away Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller, that's kind of like taking Paul George and Roy Hibbert off the Pacers. Those guys were the backbone of the defense, and now they're in the NBA. So the Hoosiers could be vulnerable inside. I'm not sure I would trust Noah as a post defender at this point. Luke Fisher still learning the intricacies of defense. So all of that will come together and have an effect in the big picture. But I think the schedule allows Indiana to be, the non-conference schedule is not too threatening. So I think Indiana will have a little bit of time early in the year to work through their issues, figure out who kind of that third scorer is going to be, figure out lineups, figure out what combinations of players work, figure out who the backup point guard is going to be, because that's something somebody has to replace Remy Abel, who transferred as the backup point guard. But once you get into the Big Ten, I think this team will kind of hit its stride, and I do think that they could be dangerous in March. I don't think they're necessarily a Final Four contender, because I don't know if they have sort of the dominant inside player or the dominant guard to make that leap. But it's a team with a lot of pieces and depth. So I think they will surprise, and I think they'll spend more time ranked. Obviously, they won't be ranked every week like last year's team was, but I think they'll spend more time in the polls than people expect.
I agree with you there. I don't think this team's going to be elite. I don't see them, you know, being a top 10 team, maybe even at any point in the year. But I do think they have a chance to be very dangerous in March. You know, Tom Crean is very good at developing players. He actually retweeted someone today. I can't remember who it was, but they had a very good point that this time of year, it's not about how the team looks. It's about how much room for growth there is. And this team, there is a lot of room for growth, which means that they have a lot of talent. And so if they do develop, if they do come together, they could be a team that hits their stride late. Could end up being a 5 or 6 seed, something like that. And one of those teams where one of the top seeds does not want to play. They see Indiana and they don't want no part of them come that time. That could be something that happens. They're probably going to be sloppy early on, probably inconsistent, make some fans want to pull their hair out at times. But if they develop over the next 4 months, find the right combinations, it's a very talented team. And I think they're going to have a very good chance of being a tournament team, and definitely not a bubble team. I think they're going to be better than that. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun. And just like the Pacers, you know, as a fan, at least the team has a chance going into the year. You never know in the NCAA. And I think it's going to be fun. Chris, that's all the time we have. As always, I thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to having you once again on the show later on.
Hey, thanks, Tyler. Happy Halloween.